And that seemed to be the source that brought Yisro to become a ger. What's the idea behind that? What did he do that he saw in Klal Yisro a difference between Elikim by Moshe and the Hashem by Yisro that made him become a ger? So I saw a very nice vort from Alput. He says that this is an Alput. So it's a Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he actually died within a few days of Rav Moshe. Rav Nissen Alpert. He says that this is something very beautiful. He says, "Vayishma Yisrael Koy Midyon." What did Yisrael? What did he hear? What did he understand? He says, "Chosem Moshe Eskalasha Ofer Elikim La Moshe." He understood that when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem was dealing with them as Eho Elikim, as Midas Hadin, as Elikim, as Midas Hadin. When it came to Yisrael, it was Midas HaRachamim. So what? Where did he see that? He saw that on the parasha when Moshe Rabbeinu was taking up Tzipora, and he's taking up his children to move to Mitzrayim, what happened there? That Moshe Rabbeinu was almost killed for a very b'shogeg. He wasn't sure yet. He was Mitzrashel. He didn't do the Bris Mila quickly enough, and he was almost killed. When Yisrael realized that, he got a very, very important lesson. He realized that Moshe Rabbeinu is judged differently to the rest of Klal Yisrael. Just because the rest of Klal Yisrael have one way of being judged, Moshe Rabbeinu is judged differently. In what capacity? He held like this, he understood like this. He understood that just because one person has one way of being judged by Hashem, a person who is at a greater level will be judged differently. A person who understands more, a person who is greater, a person who is more knowledgeable, is going to be taken more to task for his averas than a person who knows less. An element that's showing us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to grow. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects our behavior to grow according to the amount that we know. If a person knows something at 10 years old, he should know more when he's 20 years old, and more when he's 30. His life should change, his actions should change according to the more knowledge he has. If that's the case, Yisro learned a very, very fundamental lesson. He learned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu custom makes the way he judges each person on a way he expects each person to behave at that level. And as a person grows in level, Hashem expects more. In other words, he understood that a person is expected to grow, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats him the way he grows in his own particular way, because that is a lifetime of a person, that's a lifetime lesson of a person to grow and to grow and to grow, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats him accordingly. If that's the case of Yisroi, I know a lot. I know all about the different Avodah Zarah, I know what's right and what's wrong, but it doesn't make me the best person. I've got to grow even more, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects a person to grow, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to that person in his own particular way. That requires me to change. That requires me to make even a geirus. And therefore, Yisrael heard the difference between Elikim LaMoshe and the way Yisrael is judged with Hashem. He realized that every person has their own individual way of being judged, and therefore Hashem expects each person to grow, and therefore the way he's supposed to grow, I am mechuyev to make sure that I grow myself in a particular way, and that's why he became a geir.
Rabbi, you're saying that Yisrael thought he was mechuyev to become a geir?
Yes, he felt that with his understanding he has to grow to become a get.
What, is there like a concept of a person's das mahayatim?
Absolutely.
Was
his Avodah Zarah Avodah Zarah? His original Avodah Zarah was
Avodah Zarah. What do you mean he reached a level within
when the universe? He realized all Avodah Zarahs were worth nothing, and now he's going to the next step up and realize that Kodesh Baruch Hu is a Rebbeinu Shleiman and become a get.
Avodah Zarah is not a step up.
He's finished with his Avodah Zarah, and he got more and more clarity to realize that the clarity he needs now is to realize he's going to become a ger. Yeah. The prophet says, "What did Vayishma Yisro? What did Yisro hear?" Says the prophet, says Rashi, "Vayishma Yisro, Ma Shmua Shama Ubo." Probably one of the most famous Rashi's in the Torah. What did Yisro hear, and what made him come? Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchemes Amalek. He heard the crossing of the Yamsuf and Melchemes Amalek, and the Melchomah with Amalek. Asks the Balei Musa, what was the wonderful thing that he heard? He heard Kriyas Yam Suf. Okay, Kriyas Yam Suf is something fantastic. Unbelievable nisim, 10 nisim, the Mishnah says. The nisim, Ari can tell you what they are. The 10 nisim, tremendous nisim. What about Melchemes HaMalik? Why was Melchemes HaMalik something that made him become a Ger? It should say, the victory over HaMalik. The tremendous victory of Moshe Rabbeinu put his hands up and his Klal Yisrael won and put his hands down and Klal Yisrael went down and had losses. That's what it should say. It should say, Kriyas Yam Suf, v'nitzochoy neged HaMalik, and a victory against HaMalik. What's the shot? Kriyas Yam Suf and the Melchoma of HaMalik. The Melchoma of HaMalik never made him become a Ger. It should be the Nitzochoy of HaMalik. So Yaakov Naiman says in Darkei Musa, he says, and Lapin says it as well, he says that there's a certain element that a person can learn from by seeing the bad in the world. I discussed this briefly in Parshas Noach, that Noach is Tzadik Tom Hoyba Dereisov. There's two ways to become frumer. There's two ways to become stronger in your beliefs. Either by seeing the good and realizing how special it is to become a Tzadik, what it means to become a moral person, what it means to become a responsible person. That's one way of dealing with it. Another way of dealing with it is actually to see how bad one can be if one doesn't become the other side. How bad it is, many, many people have become frum by posture going to rock bottom and realizing that unless they crawl out of this and they actually make a change in their life, nothing is going to become of them. And so therefore you can actually become great from seeing the good things and from the bad things, right? By Kriyas Yam Suf, they became great by seeing the good things. He saw the fantastic things, the fantastic levels Klal Yisrael came to of Zeh Keli Vanzeu. Klal Yisrael came to a level where they can actually see Rabbeinu Shalom and point to him. They actually, Vamina Ba'Shem and Moshe Abdi, they saw Mamash and Mun and B'Tochen, and actually point to him. They saw the fantastic things. That's my connection. He also became a Ger by seeing how terrible Amalek are. That after all the fantastic nisim of Mitzrayim, after all the Eser Makos, and after seeing how wonderful HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to Klal Yisrael, and seeing clearly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves them, how dare a nation start up with Klal Yisrael? How dare you? You can say it's a suicide mission. How dare you start with Klal Yisrael? HaKadosh Baruch Hu just got rid of Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just taken Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim with all the nisim. Hashem's feeding them on in a totally artificial spiritual way in the midbar. How dare you start with them? The fact that Amalek made Muhammad, he was so disgusted how low people can get, and to fight even against the evidence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that is what made him change. That's what made him realize that he cannot stay where he is. He's got to move up and become Yisrael. Therefore, it was Kriyas Yam Suf and Melchemes Amalek. The Kriyas Yam Suf was seeing the good and Melchemes HaMalek was seeing the bad. I cannot go lower. There's a lot of people that have become frum, or certainly also Gaelim, because they just see that it's not possible to go even lower. There's a famous individual called Usher Wade. Now Usher Wade, have you ever heard of him? Usher Wade was a minister. He was a minister in that, I'm not sure, I think it was
Hamburg.
Protestant Church.
In the Protestant Church, and he's an extremely intelligent fellow, and on an anniversary, as far as I remember, of Kristallnacht in Germany, he read the papers, and he hadn't really heard too much about the Holocaust. And he started making research, and he realized that man can send people to the moon, and man can make operations through a person's eye with light, but one thing man cannot do is make he can have the most intelligent and most cultured nation, but a man cannot become moral by himself. He needs God. Unless a person has a religion that he's entitled to, and he does it in a way which is MS, there's no way a person can survive in this world and be a moral person. And all the universities in the world cannot teach you that. And he searched, and eventually became a Chassidus Yid. And today he preaches all over. The preaches a good thing, not the gospel. He preaches a kiruv, and he's a very, very wonderful person. And again, you see that it was only through the Holocaust, only through seeing the Melchemes HaMalek, how the Nazis had a chutzpah to annihilate Elchei Yidden and to break communities in Europe. Only through that he could see That's what made him become a ger. And therefore that's the shot over here. He saw the two things. He saw the Mechemes Amalek and he saw the Kriyas Yam Tov. He didn't see the Nitzach, he saw the Mechama. The Prophet says, "Vayikach Yisroi Chosem Moshe Es Tzipora Eitzes Moshe Achas Shulochero." He took Tzipora, the wife of Moshe, and the two children. One is Gershom, one is Eliezer. And again, the parasha says, "Veshnei b'nei ha'ashem ha'echad gerushim ki omar ger ha'yisi be'eretz makriyot." Because he said, "I'm a ger in a strange land." Veshnei ha'echad Eliezer ki elekei avi be'ezri v'yatzileni mecheres pari, and he has saved me for the sword of pari. The question is, why is Yisrael saying this? Why is Yisrael saying this? Why is Yisrael telling Moshe Rabbeinu and mentioning names and why the names are important and why it's called that? He says in the last six parasha why he's called these names. Why is he saying Veshnei b'nei ha'ashem ha'echad gerushim ki omar ger ha'yisi be'eretz makriyot Veshnei ha'echad Eliezer ki elekei avi be'ezri v'yatzileni mecheres pari? And he said, "Vayyav Yisrael," and he says, "Moshe ani chisemach Yisrael boilecha ve'ishtachor shnei v'na ha'imo." Well, what's the importance here of stressing the names and Moshe and Yisrael rubbing it in Moshe's face that he's got his family there? So, Yochum Schlesinger, I was once walking with him in London. Yochum Schlesinger is the Rosh Yeshiva of Schlesinger's Yeshiva in Stanford Hill, and he's a Talmud of Briskerov. Very, very tremendous Talmud Chacham. He's written a sefer called Beis Av on the parashas. Gewaldige sefer, very, very good sefer. And he said, "Beis Av." Beis Av. The question is, why is he mentioning here the names of who the children were, why their names are like that? And he's saying, "I'm coming here with your children." What's the idea of all this? So Yisrael, he says, Yisrael is sending a very important message from Moshe Rabbeinu. He's saying, it's a typical parents' law message, but this is a very important message to Moshe Rabbeinu. He's saying, "Moshe Rabbeinu, I know you're very much involved in good stuff. You're doing good things out there. You're doing kiruv, you're doing building up Klal Yisrael, you're being a rav of Klal Yisrael, you're giving wonderful advice to people, you're helping Klal Yisrael, but don't forget your wife and kids. Don't forget your wife and kids. Your family is also important. Don't sacrifice your family for the sake of Klal Yisrael. And only that, you know, you had one son, Kilmagel Hayishi Veretz Nachriyo. You're a single person in a strange land. And means every individual, and Hashem looked after you. Hashem looked after you. Elekei Ovi Be'ezi Ve'etzleni Mecher Pare. Every individual is important. Every individual, certainly your family. Charity starts at home. And that's what he said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're starting off your career now of leading Klal Yisrael. Remember that don't do it on the sacrifice of your family. Do not sacrifice your family for the sake of the Klal. I've seen it again and again and again. Nebuch, many Rosh Hashivas have very difficult lives. Their children, a lot of them off the derech, a lot of them have extremely difficult times. The father's on the road a lot. Very often, you know, you got to raise money, you got to do fundraising, and you see people paying, or you don't see your kids as much as you should. And the children suffer. And so this is a lesson he's saying over here. Don't do anything else before you make sure your family is safe. Look after your family first, and then you can start doing community things. Don't sacrifice your family for the sake of the community.
Does this mean that Miriam and Aaron were somewhat justified?
They were justified, but they had no right to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To a certain level. I mean, Rabbi Shem said they weren't, because at that stage in time, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't be together with them. They couldn't be together with her, but this is a lesson for Beis Hashem. When you go out there, just be careful. The Prophet carries on and it says, "Vayikach Yisroi Chosem Moshe Oyla Zvachim Elikim." Yisroi Chosem Moshe took the Oyla Zvachim for Hashem. "Vayove Aaron v'choziknei Yisrael lechol lechem," and Aaron and all ziknei Yisrael came to eat bread. "Im choisem Moshe lifnei ho'elikim," with the father of Moshe lifnei ho'elikim. Now this pasuk is very meduyak. Look in Rashi, lifnei ho'elikim. Mikan from here, shahanene mesu'udo shutamidei chachomim mesubin bo. If a person has hanot a person who benefits and enjoys a su'udah, where the Talmidei Chachamim are eating there, ki'ilu nene meziv ha-shechina, it's as if he's actually benefiting directly from the Shechina. Why? Because the Pasuk says it's nehu elikim, from in front of elikim.
So someone has a su'udah and
a su'udah with Talmidei Chachamim, and he's there with Talmidei Chachamim eating the su'udah, it's as if he's eating directly from the table of a Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Does it have to be his own table or?
No, longer. A person who enjoys a suda where Talmidei Chachamim are sitting there. It's not his own suda, doesn't. He's sitting in a suda where Talmidei Chachamim are there. It's as if he's eating from the table of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Poshut. A person sits with Talmidei Chachamim, sees the way they eat. See the derech eretz by the meal, the divrei Torah, the way they relate one to the other. That is as if he's mamish connected to the Shechina. Mamish Rashi is not a chesed shavat, it's not a bnei safchos, it's avoda. It's Rashi, yeah. Rashi says it. Now, this for Yisroi was a culture shock. The halacha is that a goy cannot bring a korban shlomim. A goy can bring korbanos to the Beis HaMikdash, he cannot bring a korban shlomim. A korban shlomim is a chelik where everyone gets a chelik from it. The kohenim get a piece, Hashem gets a piece, and the baalim themselves get a piece. The only korban a goy can bring is
Ola.
A korban oila. Why? Because a goy cannot understand how a person possibly can benefit and enjoy olam hazeh in a holy way. He cannot understand it. A goy cannot possibly understand how a person can use a rabbi to be a person who's a god lahador and be married. In the Christians, lahavdol, alfa elef avdolus. Yeah? Okay, they find pits with aborted babies, but they can't understand, outside nunneries, but they can't understand how a person can be holy and still be married. Lahavdol, the Buddhist, cannot understand how a person can be holy, yeah, and have their own mummy. They all walk around with begging bowls every day. And walk around with begging bowls and shaven heads, and they're skinny people. Yeah, and they have nothing. How can you be holy with your own money? Yiddish guy teaches us that, on the contrary, that with money and with gashmias, that is the greatest way to connect to ruchnias. If you do it in the right way, you have to know how to do it. If you do it in the right way, that is the key to ruchnias. And that's why eating, enjoying yourself, eating, that is a chelik of coming, connecting with Talmidei Chachamim. That's a chelik of becoming lifnei elokim. I saw an unbelievable story. From Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky. You know Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky? Yaakov Galinsky is one of the... He's still here? He's still here in the yeshiva? Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky is the yeshiva of the Negev, one of the yeshivas in the Negev. He is a tremendously big man, but he is roughly, I'd say, about 4 foot. 4 foot tall. he said that he never would believe that one day he'd be taller than the Twin Towers. He said, who would guess that one day they'd be taller than the Twin Towers? He said. That's a very deep thought. But he said that this. He said a story that happened with him. It was during the Second World War, and a lot of the Jews, Nebuch, were thrown out from where they were and sent to Siberia. And he was one of them. Yaakov Galinsky was one of the people who sent to Siberia when he was a bocher during the Second World War. Makes him not a young man anymore. Must be a... What's that? Let's say he's 15 in 1940. He's not a young man. So he said that Nebuchadnezzar, he was put there in Siberia, and they punished him with a 40 day starvation diet, which means basically to give a person the minutest amount of food in order just to keep them physically alive. It was for something he did. Maybe he was learning Torah, whatever it was, but they gave him a starvation diet for 40 days. When he finished his 40 days, they gave him a bowl of soup. I said, even that bowl of soup, it wasn't thick with wings and with bones inside and lakshan, and noodles and vegetables. In Nebuchadnezzar, it was like a thin soup, tasted disgusting, had a few blobs of whatever unidentified stuff inside it, but that was for him after 40 days, was unbelievably delicious. And the smell, and mamash, he saw this bread and he's about to gobble this down. And standing next to him, Nebuch, was another broken Jew. His name was, funny name, Choleb. A Russian guy called Choleb. His surname was Choleb. And, what's that?
Choleb.
No, his family name was Choleb. I don't know. Choleb. And his fellow standing next to him, and he was still on a starvation diet. So Yakovlinsky thought to himself, listen, after 40 days, I deserve a little meal, you know. And then he said to him, Yankele, Yankele, you know how he goes, Yankele, Yankele. This is Yeshiva Bacha. This is a Ben Torah. Here you have a Jew standing next to you who's starving, and eat it all yourself. This is Yeshiva Bacha. How can you do such a thing?
Why can you say?
So he took his bowl, he found another dirty bowl, and poured in half the soup and gave it to his choreb. And his father ate it and slurped up, he was so hungry. Adkan, the first Hakofa. Okay? Roll the years, quite a few years later, Yaakov Galinsky moved to Eretz Yisrael, and it was the beginning of when the Zionists were making Moshavim and Kibbutzim, where they take all the foreign children, the Taimanim and the Moroccan, the Moroccans, and all the various foreign children, and absolutely, completely. My father's here in 1952, here in Yeshiva. He said he went to a kibbutz. There's a picture there of Stalin and Lenin and Marx. My father said, "Who's this? Is this the founder of the institution?" Like very, the laughing sort of like they totally see some socialist values. Took all the Torah out of them. They cut their payers off. They made them. My father said he remembers. He's that they used to have these kids who never came from anything, had no money b'chlal. On Shabbos, outside the yeshiva, he went to the yeshiva in Zichron Yaakov. It was a Bele Lapian. It was a Talmud of Bele Lapian, Zichron Yaakov yeshiva. Around the corner, my father, 1952, there was a kibbutz there. Buses would come on Shabbos, open air buses, like trucks with like little things at the back, and take the kids out on trips on Shabbos. And if mummies take away all the Yiddish guy from them, and they've put European Jews that they couldn't understand the languages, they've written whatever it was, to speak Yiddish to each other, that they've totally disconnected with the Sephardi kids that are coming over, and as a churban, and mamish a churban. And according to law though, any child who wanted to have a religious education, and their parents wanted to have a religious education, was entitled to have a religious education, according to law. But the question was, how do you get to these kids? The place was completely cordoned off, you had wire, wire right, completely around it, surrounded by wire. So the kibbutzim. What's that?
They were
kidnapping
the children.
They took off. Mm-hmm. So we after this went back to the chazan and said, I can't get into this place. The chazan said, okay, so burrow under the ground. Burrow, make a tunnel and get underneath and get in there. So Yaakov Galinsky with his two friends, middle of the night, was burrowing under the ground, and they got in there, and by the early morning they had dug a tunnel till underneath, and they got into the moshav. And so I was speaking to the kids. Within a few minutes, they identified. It wasn't easy to pick them out. How did you get in? They found the hole. They found the thing. They knew exactly what was going on, and that was totally illegal. Obviously, they wanted to put them up for trespassing and for illegal missionary work, whatever they wanted to do in those days. And things were getting very terrible. So they put them to the side. They're very rough with them. Push them to the side. Said, "You wait. We're going to get our main guy over here, and he's going to deal with you." So they spoke to each other in Yiddish. Yakovlinsky pretended and didn't understand. He says, let's call Choleb. Choleb will deal with him. This guy rocks up, big, tall Russian fellow. Suddenly they see each other. Yakovlinsky sees Choleb. Choleb sees Yakovlinsky. And they run over to each other, and they embrace and they cry. And he says, it's been years and years, I haven't seen each other. He says, how are you? He says, oh, fantastic, what are you doing here? Nah, nothing, just sightseeing with Yakovlinsky. So Choleb understood there was something funny going on. He said, do you want to get out? He says, no, I can get out, I know how to get out. That's not a problem, I can get out, I want something else from you. So what do you want? So I want you to go along and make a register of all the kids. I want you to go around to the kids and ask them whether they want to join a frum school or not. Go around. He said, you're crazy, I'll be fine. He said, you remember the soup? Yeah. He went around and he made a list, 65 kids registered.
Wow.
From that moshav, from that kibbutz, so they want to go to a frum institution. But the next day they were out. Chavnis arranged and Ponovitzerov arranged school for them, went to B'nai Barat, and they're from today.
Wow.
That is sharing a plate of soup. That is mamish. A person can eat the Shnei Ho'elekim. That sharing a plate of soup with the Shnei Ho'elekim is mamish in front of the Rabbeinu Shleilam. unfortunately, what happens is that there's some kind of huge valley between the base medrash and the dining room. This base medrash is where everything is really, where one learns, where one grows, and where, you know, where everything's important. Suddenly you get to the dining room and everything's lost. There's pushing, and there's a person takes extra if he doesn't think about the other person. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Mama said, things get out of control.
No, Avraham.
No, the Rosh Hashivas, the big Rosh Hashivas, when he used to look for son-in-law, he never used to go to the base medrash. They look in the dining room and see how the guy acts in the dining room. That's how the guy really is. Yaakov Galinsky. Yaakov Galinsky, yeah. He's very, he's hilarious. He's very, very funny. Him and Sholmon Shadron. You know Sholmon Shadron? Sholmon Shadron was the Maggid. Yeah, the Maggid.
Yeah,
Sholmon Shadron, and he were very good friends. So they both at my sister's chasna in England. They're both there. They happened to both be there, so they both came. It was a big chasna, it was a fancy chasna. It was a well-known family, so they came. And they both wanted to make the chasna in Kalalah. So Yaakov Galinsky starts off and he says, so they both made fun of each other. So Yaakov Galinsky starts off and he says, Rabbeitai, if you see a bachel, if you see a stomach coming, wait a few minutes, you'll see Reb Sholem. So Reb Sholem says, Rabbeitai, if you see a hat on the floor, don't step on it. Yaakov Galinsky's underneath. Anyway, so that was the kind of relationship they had. But that was mamish, it was near like him. I want to move on.
Okay, then you said the story you said was when I was with a chazanish and I was with a chazanish and he started to measure.
Yeah, nice. I want to carry on to Aseret HaDibros. Okay, you can't skip Aseret HaDibros. You have to stand up for this, but Aseret HaDibros. There's a one amazing, amazing piece of something for here. And again, if you get this vault, it's worth coming to Yeshiva just for this. It's worth spending your time, whatever you're doing, just coming to Yeshiva for this vault. It's unbelievable. He says, look, Rabbi Samson of Falhish. Rabbi Samson of Raphael Hish. He says at this. Anoich Hashem Alekecho. If one makes a cheshbon, there are 10 commandments, right? Everyone knows that. The first 5 are Ben Odom Lemokoyim, and the second 5 are Ben Odom Lechaveri. Yeah? The first 5 are Necha Shem Lekecha, Asher Yitzei Sicho. That's number 1. Le Yilecho Lekim Achem Aponai. Yeah, do not make any other gods. Number 2. Do not use my name in vain. Number 3. Zochten Shabbos Tekadjoi. Keep Shabbos. Number 4. Kabbalah of Yechav Esimecha. Number 5. That is between you and God. I wife covered this avichah v'simecha because Hashem says that's a way to appreciate more by appreciating your parents. Okay. The next 5, leitzitzoch, leitzimoch, leitzigmoid, leitzanibrecha, leitzoch, leitzachmu beitri acho. All these different things are ben odom lechaveri. But he said, look at the order. He said, if you look in the order of ben odom lemokoyim between you and Hashem, it starts off with things, mitzvahs, that are very, very obscure, very difficult to identify with, and they get more and more practical. Anoich Hashem Lekech, I've got to have emunah. Okay, so what do I do? I believe. Yeah, what do I do? Yeah? Okay. So that is extremely vague. How do I do it? What do I do? How do I show it? The next thing is an actual action. Do not make any gods. Okay, so I can physically keep that, but not making any gods. Next one is, do not say Hashem's name in vain. That's even easier to identify with. You can see clearly. Make a swan Hashem's name in vain? No, I'm not going to. You can see that. Then he gets to keeping Shabbos. And he gets to Kabbalah of Yichav Esimecho. It's getting more and more within the world of reality. You can actually see it more and more. On the other hand, when it comes to Ben Odom of Chaveroi, it becomes less and less tangible. Yeah? It starts off. Loi Tzirtzoch, okay, I won't kill. Loi Tzinoch, okay, I won't do Znus. Loi Tzignoiv, you know what? Okay, I won't steal. Yeah? Loi Tzanem Brecha Eitzokeh, don't speak falsely about your friend. You can't identify it with. And eventually ends off, Loi Tzachmoy, do not be jealous. How do I not be jealous? What do I do? which means there's two sort of like when you have the pH, you have the pH line, you have the, on the two opposites, you have in the middle, you have what, page 7.5 or something?
Seven.
Yeah. That you have mamish the two opposites. You have the most clear, most intangible on both sides coming into the middle, which is the most clear. What's the limud? He says, when it comes to ben odom and mokrim, it's not enough just to have connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, what Israeli taxi drivers, ani Yehudi Balev. Yeah? Ani Yehudi Balev. And I've got a Jewish heart. Yeah? So they're all asking why don't I keep Yom HaTzmut? I need to see your Nibalev, I tell them. My heart, I'm a Zionist. I don't show it, I'm a closet Zionist. I need to see your Nibalev. It's not like that. But, ani Yehudi Balev. Doesn't help. It doesn't help, ani Yehudi Balev. You've got to make it more and more tangible. Even the Hakov HaKadosh Baruch Hu mustn't be in a way that I just believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's got to be in such an essence that you become more and more real with it. That you actually, your mun and betochen makes you actually do things. It turns from the brain into an action. It turns from your brain into an action. And that's what's expected by Ben Odom and Mokoyim, is that the action should be so clear, the munna should be so clear, that the munna should be, every mitzvah should become actually involved in an action where you're actually changed by it. You become a better person and actually act in a better way rather than just your belief. It doesn't help to stop by belief. There's got to be actually an action to it. When it comes to the other way round, or ben odom chaveroi, it doesn't help me just doing things. Okay, you know what? I won't kill. I won't steal. Yeah? Okay, that takes up a few jobs. Can't be a lawyer, can't be a politician. But still plenty of options for me. Yeah? Like signify, like stand a bracha, a socket. Okay. No. It's got to be actions. Not only it's got to be actions, that you don't do bad things to your friends, but it's got to be in your brain. It's got to actually become a part of you, of who you are. Your whole way of your thinking should be such that I care about my bracha so much, I care about my friend so much, that I want to look out for him. I want to become from an action into my whole being, of the way I think should be done in such a way that I care and I think about my friends. And therefore when it's been other than Mokoyim, the thought should be so should become so concrete that it become action. And by a friend, the action should be so strong that eventually they totally change the way you even think about people. Those are the two opposites. You get that? Gewaldigavol. I think you didn't get it. Adam, you got it? I think it's an unbelievable, very, very strong book. He asks furthermore, that Shem Shafala asks, he says, it's a bit of an anti-climax, to be quite honest. Starts off, Adonai Hashem Lekecho. No, I'm your God. Then he goes into, okay, Shabbos and this, Leitzirtzach, okay, Leitzinach, don't, you know, do Znus, Leitzignoid. Then he starts talking about being jealous. Don't be jealous. Yeah, it's sort of a bit of an anticlimax after all that. So talking about being jealous. I mean, that's one of the Ten Commandments. Don't be jealous. Don't be jealous of the wife of your friend, of his donkey, of his shoy. What's the deal here? Don't be jealous. So he says that is the makoyer. That is the source that strengthens the whole of Teres Adibris. I think he said this last year. He said without jealousy, a person only becomes jealous if they realize that, you know, I'm in control. I deserve more. There's nobody really controlling my life. I should be controlling my own life, and therefore why don't I have what the other person has? Leit Sachmei says, no, don't be jealous. That person has exactly what they need. You have exactly what you need. And therefore, don't steal. What's the point of stealing? You're trying to take what you shouldn't get, maybe unhealthy for you. Like stealing somebody else's tablets. It's not healthy for you. Yeah? And everything else, Leit Sachmei, is a key to understanding that I'm where I should be, and I'm controlled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most minutest level. Everything I'm doing is controlled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's no reason to do any averus. That is the idea behind Leit Sachmei
b'kitzur. Well, how does it relate to the first one, I am Hashem?
That is, with the Sachmei, that's the biggest connection of Amiyat Hashem Alekecho. Hashem is in control. I don't have to be jealous. Hashem knows exactly what I need. There's one particular one over here of this Aseret HaDibros, which many of us think that today it's sort of it's expired. It's expired. What is that? Do not have any other gods. You know what? Let's change this one. Let's finish off with a different one over here, if you don't mind. There's one very, very nice one to finish off with. It says over here. Let's go back. It says Yisrael comes along, and he has what to say. You know, he comes along out of the Midbar from Midyan. It's Ger, and he starts telling Moshe Rabbeinu, "Lo tzei v'davar, wrong. Ata sechazer, you should do this. You should do that." You know what Moshe Rabbeinu says to him?
You're right.
Absolutely right. Okay, I think we spend a long time on that, of idealism, of Balei Teshuva in a frum world, that they have as an insight. I can speak about a lot about that. I'm not going into that now. But he says over here, there's a fantastic vault over here. It says, in Perek Yitches Bosuchos, v'yizharta es mishubun nem, es ha-chukim ve-es ha-toyros, es ha-chukim ve-es ha-toyros, v'hidata lehem es ha-derech yelchu bo, v'es ha-maser asher yasun. Says the Gemara in Bava Mitzvah, the Flamad of the Beit, Perek Yitches Bosuchos. The Gemara says over there, Es HaChukim, Perek Yitches Bosuchos. The Gemara says in Bava Mitzvah, the Flamad of the Beit, Es HaChukim, Ves HaToyros, that is Zuhi Din. That is Din. Voidat lehem es HaDerech Yelchubo, Ves HaMaseh Asher Yasu Me'ez Lisnim Meshuras Adin. You should teach them din, and you should teach them lifnim mishur to din. What does that mean, lifnim mishur to din? Over and above the moral thing to do. Which means there's a certain rights I have, and there's a din of lifnim mishur to din. You've got to teach them to go above what law expects from them. It's a very difficult thing to understand. Why do I have to... I've got a right to this money. I have a right to Reuven paying me money. Why does it have to be the Fnim Ashur Sadin? I deserve it. I have a civil right. According to Din Torah, I deserve it. Why should it be the Fnim Ashur Sadin? What's that?
I've got rights to
Reuven's
money. What's the case?
A case is I've got a Din Torah against Reuven, and according to Din Torah, Reuven owes me money.
Yeah.
So it's a possible to go to Fnim Ashur Sadin. You know what?
No.
Let him off a little bit. No. Says the Gemara says that why was there Churban HaBayis? Because people would judge Lifli Hadin. They did not go Lifli Meshuras Hadin. Which is very difficult to understand. So the Gemara says somewhere else, the reason why there's a Churban was because of Sinas Chino. So how do these two Gemaras reconcile? So, I can't remember who this was. So, yeah, Rapam says this. He says, fantastic book. He says, there's a Gemara. The way judgment works like this, when you go to Din Torah, I've been to Din Torah fortunately twice. Now I see this thought, maybe I shouldn't call the guys at Din Torah. But the way Din Torah works like this, you come to Beis Din and you tell them both sides. Now Beis Din at that time, if they know the halakha very well, they know exactly who really is Chayv and who's Potter. They know. It may be a little bit unclear, but a discussion will get it clear in a very short period of time, they know what's going on. So they say, okay, A, you finished? Yeah. B, you finished? Okay. Now, we'd like you to compromise. Do you want to do din or pshara? Do you want to have a din or pshara, or do you want to compromise? We think you should compromise. Beis Din say that every time. The Shulchan Aruch asks, how can you do that? How can Beis Din say, I think you should compromise? The halacha is I'm not allowed to give bad advice. Certainly a judge is not allowed to give bad advice. Therefore, the judge knows very well that Reuven is right. How can you tell Reuven before we say anything compromise? Why? Reuven has now got bad advice, because if he goes to judgment, he will win. Therefore, how can you tell him to compromise? You're not allowed to give a person bad advice. It's an evil, it's a mikshot.
He's going to lose money, yeah?
He's going to lose money out by it. How can you give him bad advice? Good question. Answer the Sma, making a mistake. That is good advice. although this guy, you can throw the book at the other fellow and show him that he's wrong, and I can strip him, and I can rip the money off him, and I can win, and I can walk out of basin feeling triumphant and feeling victorious, and Mamish made it, and I show this guy that he's wrong, and I've got every penny out of him, and Mamish, I pulled him to pieces, I've got every penny out of him, you've lost. You've lost. Why? Because next time you go to a chasna, that guy may be sitting next to you, and can you talk to him now? You've embarrassed him in the basement, can you talk to him now? He said the best thing is, let the other guy go, compromise. Compromise is a settlement where which both sides get what they don't want. Yeah? But still, it's better that way. Let him off, go to cinema, show something. By doing so, that is good advice. Although he may lose money, but ultimately it's better for him. That's why the basement can say compromise. Yeah? Says Yisro, let's just start over here. Yisro said to him, there's two dinim. There's din of judgment and there's din of compromise. Teach Klal Yisrael to compromise. Although they have the right of way, although they may have the right, a legal right, teach them just to let go. Teach them just to say, you know what? You're right, I'm not going to basement over this. And that's what's up in the Gemara. The Gemara says, why did the basement get destroyed? Because of sin haschinah. What's sin haschinah? Because people didn't compromise. And therefore, at one chasna, you have 10 people sitting around the table where each one had a din toe the other chap and pulled him out and Amalek ripped him off according to din, and nobody's speaking to each other now. Everyone hates each other's guts. That's the idea over here. Poshut, be a bit easier. So what's money? Of course one needs money, but you know what? There are things more important than money. There are certain times where somebody came to me and wanted to know whether his father-in-law says he's going to give him money. Yeah? For an apartment, this and that. His father wants to know whether he's actually write it in a star for him or not. Should he write it in a star? Should he write it down in a document, the amount of money, how much he's going to give him? I said to him, why? May he forget? He said, no. But just in case he doesn't give it, I can show him. I said, what are you going to do over that? What are you going to do? You're going to come and show your father-in-law that he owed you money. He hasn't got it. What are you going to do? Take him to Beis Din. Right? What's your marriage going to look like? That you're taking your father-in-law to Beis Din for the money that he owes you. See, your whole marriage is going to fall apart. It would be much more expensive paying your wife off the settlement after the Gerushin than not taking money in the first place. A person can learn to compromise. Be easy. Relax. It's a bit of money, okay? But something called, my father calls it Sholem Geld. Sholem Geld. There's a certain account in the house called Sholem Geld. You lose money, you're entitled to money. Okay, Sholem Geld. Sholem money. You know, you're entitled to it. The other person, okay, let the person take it. This is his parsha. It starts with it being idealistic. It starts with being at the ideal of realizing the good and bad and making a decision, realizing that a person is expected to grow the way he knows, and that's why Yisro changed what he did. It's a realization that from seeing the bad in the world, one can grow, from seeing the good in the world, one can grow. It's the various different things from the Teres of Dibros. It's a realization that just being with the brain, sitting by them by the table, just eating with them, one can grow tremendously from that. And realizing that life is about just being easygoing. Don't be with other people, with your money. Not talking about easygoing mitzvahs, but with your money. So relax, don't be so finicky and penny pinching, and take it easy. Okay? Right.
How do you learn that?
It's cookies, that's a very good thing.